But don't worry, boys and girls, it's also going to appear on the screen, so you can look up here as I read it. Now, you might think this is a bit of a strange reading, so we're not going to actually read through the Christmas nativity story that we know quite well, but we're actually going to read through the genealogy of Jesus. So we're going to read that and then think about that together. So just give you a moment to find Matthew 1 if you've got a Bible, and then I'll read this together. Boys and girls, all you need will be up on the screen. So Matthew writes, "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon." Need a big breath now, already. "After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abihud, Abihud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Elihud, Elihud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matan, Matan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, for Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah." There we go. Take a deep breath now. This is God's word to us. It might seem like a strange reading, but this is going to teach us something amazing about Jesus. Okay, so, boys and girls, let's pray. Let's ask God's help to help us understand what we've just read, and then we'll do that. So let me pray, and then we'll think about that together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you that it's relevant to us today. And help us, please, to think about your word. And Lord, please teach us from it that we'd learn some great truths about our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, here's a question for you. Who can tell me what's happening on the 22nd of March next year? Okay, it's a really exciting day. Anyone tell me what's happening on the 22nd of March next year? Any guesses? Any guesses? Easter? Yeah, it's coming around Easter time. Yeah, it's not too far off. Any other guesses? Actually, a little bit sad about this. You'll know in a minute. Yes, Jordan? It's my birthday. Thank you, Jordan, for remembering. That's so kind of you. Anyone else got a birthday in March? Yeah, quite a few of us. Well, you'll remember my birthday now. Everyone else, make a little note. Boys and girls, make a little note. March 22nd next year is my birthday. I like chocolate, just so you know. Now, a bit sad that not many, apart from Jordan, no one from my family shouted out, did they? 22nd of March, Rach. March 22nd is my birthday, and I'm really excited about that, and that day is really special for me. But it's obviously less memorable and less special for others. So this morning, here's a question I want us to think about. Why is Jesus' birthday so special? Have you ever thought about that, boys and girls? Why is it that every year we spend time singing songs, doing nativity shows? Who's done a nativity show this year at school? Quite a few of you. Yeah, why is it every year we sing songs about Jesus' birth? We act it out. We don't get to march every year in schools. People act out my birth in school. That'd probably be a bit of an odd thing, but we don't do that. So why do we do it for Jesus? Why is Jesus' birthday so special? Why do we remember it every year? Well, that's the question we're going to think about this morning. And one answer to that question is found, believe it or not, in the reading we've just had. So look at the first verse. It's on the screen. This is what Matthew says. He says, "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? Well, Matthew tells us it's because Jesus is the Messiah. Here we go, if I can get it up. Jesus is the Messiah. Now, we've got actions for this. So everyone ready for some actions? You all ready? We're going to go. Jesus is the Messiah. We had a bit of practice in that last song, actually. So can we all say this and do the actions together? One, two, three. Jesus is the Messiah. And the word Messiah, it means king. That's why there's a crown on top. It means king. But Jesus wasn't just any old king, or isn't just any old king, but the Messiah, God's promised king, sent to sort out the mess of our world. In fact, we could say Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. Okay? So we're going to say it again, but this time we're going to go for the mess. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. Very good. Very good at that. See, Jesus' birth is remembered and celebrated because he is God's promised king. The king who is going to come and sort out the mess of our world. And our world is a mess, isn't it? Just think of our world at the moment, boys and girls. As we look around the room, we see everyone with masks on. It reminds us about COVID at the moment, which has caused a lot of problems and disruption, and lots of people have died because of COVID. And it's horrible. And COVID is just one mark of the mess of our world. But it's not just COVID. Think of maybe the school playground and arguments you might have with others when we want something and other people want something and there's conflict. It's a reminder that we live in a messy world and we're messy people. We haven't always lived as God wants us to. And so we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus because, ready, one, two, three, Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. But how is Jesus going to sort out the mess in our world? Just have a little think, scratch your heads. That's what we're going to think about. How is Jesus going to sort out the mess of our world? Well, we read that long list of names, didn't we? And believe it or not, that long list teaches us something. Because that list, and you see that word, that funny word up there, genealogy, that means kind of family tree. That list of names is Jesus' family tree, and it shows us why Jesus is such a big deal and the kind of king he was going to be. Now, boys and girls, does anyone know what a family tree is? Does anyone know what a family tree is? A family tree, it isn't just a tree that you own or a tree that your family sit in. A family tree highlights all the people who are in our family. A family tree tells us something about the family that we belong to. So, if we can have it on the screen, this is my family tree, or the last, no, not all of it, that's going to be much longer. But this is my family tree. So you've got me, that's my dad, I'm a little boy, and my granddad, and my great-granddad. And there were other photos, but couldn't quite squeeze them on. That is my family tree. Now, if you spent time with my family, or were to read about them, not that I think there's any books written about my family particularly, you would learn lots of things about me. So if you spent time with my granddad, you would know why I really like sweets and watching rugby. If you spent time with my dad, you would know why I really like playing music and playing sport. And having now seen those pictures, now you know why I'm such a good-looking guy. You see, family trees... It wasn't funny, by the way. You see, family trees help us to learn something about those within the family, and it's exactly the same with Jesus. See, Jesus' family tree, that long list of names we read out, tells us why he's special, why he's good news, not just for me, not just for you, but for everyone in our world. It tells us why, can we do this together? One, two, three. Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. Now, boys and girls, I was thinking about this, right? How cool would it be? So we think about family trees. How cool would it have been if we'd had a big tree on stage to use as like our family tree? That would have been good, wouldn't it? If we had a big tree somewhere on the stage, that would have been a really good... Oh, yeah, we've got one. Brilliant. We should always do family trees around Christmas. We've got a family tree to look at this morning. Now, let's have a look around this ball. Oh, there you go. Go on, read. What name's this? Jesus. So we're going to think about Jesus' family tree, and particularly some of the names that Matthew highlights for us. So just grab that verse back on the screen again, or I'll read it to you. It said, this is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So if we would go up the family tree, as it were, and look at one of the names in Jesus' family tree, we get to David. You see, Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad was King David. Jesus was born into the special royal family of God. Now, does anyone know anything about King David? Anyone know anything about King David? Let's see if I can remind you. Yeah, do you know anything? Yeah, go on. What do you know about King David?
He was a good king.
And one of the things that David's really well known for is defeating a big enemy. See, he was the shepherd boy who turned into a warrior king. So anyone guess what story this is? Anyone know this story? Yeah, what story is it? David and Goliath. See, David, the shepherd boy, was raised up by God to slay this giant. Now, I'm going to say giant slayer quite a lot. And when I say giant slayer, I want, what noise could we have for giant slayer? Maybe a whoosh. Could we do that? Whoosh. Let's just practice. A giant slayer? Giant sausage? Giant slayer? Very good. David was a giant slayer. There was a time for God's people where a big enemy, Goliath, he was a huge man, really big, a bit like me, really massive, strong. Ooh. And he was against God's people. And God's people were terrified. They couldn't do anything. They had this big enemy that they couldn't defeat. No one could defeat him. But God raised David to be a giant slayer. Very good. David stood up on behalf of all the people of God, and he defeated the giant. And do you know how he did it? He got a stone, and these stones, you can see them in the British Museum. They're about this big. It wasn't a bauble. Don't worry, he didn't throw a bauble at Goliath. But he got a stone this big, and he flung it around and launched it at Goliath. And it hit Goliath right on the head, and it killed him. Put that down so I can't do any damage to anyone. But David was a giant slayer. There was a big enemy for God's people, and David defeated it with God's help. Now, just like you can learn something about me by spending time with my family, so David teaches us something awesome about Jesus. You see, just as David was a giant slayer, so too Jesus came to be a giant slayer. But this time, not to fight Goliath, but to fight our biggest enemy, sin. See, sin is a word the Bible uses to describe all the wrong things we've done. The times we've said lies, the times we've not listened to parents. But most of all the times we've not lived as God would have us live. And our sin means we can't be friends with God. And just like God's people in David's time, we can't do anything to defeat this enemy. But God has done something about it. He sent Jesus to be the giant slayer. You see, at Christmas, we remember Jesus' birth. But Jesus didn't stay a baby. No, he grew up. And one day, he died on a cross to defeat sin, to defeat that enemy that we can't defeat. And at the cross, Jesus died. He paid the penalty our sin deserves so that we could be forgiven, so that we can be friends with God. So David was a giant slayer. And as we look at the family tree, we realize that as Jesus came, he was going to be a giant slayer too. But Jesus came to defeat our biggest enemy, sin, and he did that at the cross. So that's the first thing we kind of learn about Jesus. So Jesus is, let's do it together, 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. And the first thing we see that he is a giant slayer. But there's more. You see, we've met Jesus' great-great-great-great-granddad. But now we need to go further back. Look at the verse again. Who else is there? It's Abraham. Let's have a look. Let's make sure it's right. Yes. So Jesus' great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad was Abraham. Now, Abraham is found right at the beginning of the Bible. So if you turned in your Bible and went right to the beginning, he's kind of not long after Noah in the Bible story. You know, remember Noah's Ark story? That's when Abraham lived. And at that time, much like today, many people ignored God. They lived their own way. And we learn that the world at that time was put under a curse. But something amazing happened for Abraham. Because into this cursed world, God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to this man. And he made a big promise. And this is what he said. Hopefully it'll appear on the screen. This is what God said to Abraham, a big promise. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And, this is the big bit, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. See, our world is under a curse, but one day someone from Abraham's family was going to turn curse into blessing. And boys and girls, Matthew wants us to see that that someone is Jesus. That's what Matthew wants us to see. So, ready, could we do this together? Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. He's the giant slayer, but he's also the blessing bringer. And I think for this, we can just do a hooray, because we all like presents, don't we? We all like blessings. So he's also the blessing bringer. Hooray. Very good. He's also the blessing bringer. Hooray. Very good. Now, who's excited for opening presents this Christmas? Only the kids? You don't have to get any presents. They're not that excited. We're all excited about opening presents, aren't we, at Christmas? We love that about Christmas. Presents are good. But as we celebrate Christmas, Matthew wants us to remember that Jesus is the blessing bringer. Hooray! And that he is the best present of all. Now, there's loads of reasons why that's true, because he's the giant slayer, because of other things. But as we trust in Jesus and his death for us at the cross, one of the amazing blessings is that we can be added to his family. We can be added to his family tree. This can be us. We could join his family. Even though I'm a sinner, even though I've lived a messy life, because Jesus is the blessing bringer, he can add me to his family. This is the greatest blessing, the greatest present we could ever receive at Christmas. Now, we read through that whole long list of names earlier. We focused on David and Abraham. We don't have time to look at every single name. But in that family, as we read through it, one of the things we're supposed to pick up on is that this is quite a messy family. Okay, so just I'll call out some of the names. There's a man called Jacob. Now, Jacob, his name means deceiver. He wasn't a nice bloke. There's Rahab and Ruth. Well, they were foreigners. They were on the outside of God's people, but they were welcome in. Even King David, he did lots of good things. He was a giant slayer. But he also did some unkind things. He did lots to harm others. We read adults. If you look at verse 12, there was this exile. God's people, because they started worshiping other gods, well, they were exiled. They were sent away from the land that God had given to them because they worshipped other gods. And you could go on through this list. This is a list of messy, messy people. But the wonderful truth we remember at Christmas time is that Jesus not only came from a messy family, he came for a messy family. And that's why Jesus is the blessing bringer. Jesus is the blessing bringer. Jesus came to pour out blessing on all people who would trust in him and be included into his family. So what are we learning? Let's see if we can do what we've got so far. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. He's the giant slayer, and he's the blessing bringer. Fantastic. Really good. So here's the big thing. That's the thing that Matthew wants us to see. He wants us to see that this is true. What are we supposed to do in response? We celebrate Jesus' birth every year. What response are we supposed to have that he is the king for the mess? How should we respond? Well, in the nativity story, and if you came on the trail yesterday, you would have been reminded of that. If you've been in a nativity recently, you'll know about it. But can anyone tell me what, and we get lots of reactions to Jesus in that story. Can anyone tell me what the wise men do? What do the wise men do in the nativity as they go to see Jesus? Can anyone remember what they do? What do they do? Yeah, so they follow the bright star, and when they get to see Jesus, what do they do? What do they do? Yeah, they bring gifts. Yes, brilliant. Do you want to come up? Yeah, they bring gifts. Does anyone know what else they do? I'll give you a clue. What do they do? Look at the sheep. They bow down. They bow down to him. And adults, if you were to read through Matthew's gospel, you'll notice that again and again, the response to Jesus that Matthew records is that people bow down to him. They bow down and they worship him. So the first response, adults, you can look at this at chapter 2, verse 11. The wise men, when they get to Jesus, they bow down, they worship him. The last recorded response to Jesus in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 28, verse 17, is that they see Jesus risen from the grave and they bow down and worship him. And then all throughout the story as well. The right response to Jesus is to worship him. Okay, so this is the response that Matthew says we need for King Jesus. Got too many things now. There we go. So this says, so worship him, do a little bow, so worship him as king. Okay, let's do that again, 1, 2, 3. So worship him as king. So let's do the top line and the bottom line, okay? So Jesus is the Messiah for the mess, so worship him as king. That's what Matthew wants us to do. But what does that mean? What's it mean? Does it just mean, well, we should just keep bowing down to Jesus? Well, in one sense, that would be a good thing to do. But to help us think this through, I want to tell you about a friend of mine called Richard. Now, we've all got friends a little bit like Richard, okay? It's someone who says that they can eat 1,000 mince pies in 10 seconds. Do you think that's possible? I don't think that's possible. I'd like to see someone try, but it's not possible. He's the kind of person who says, well, for Christmas, I'm going to get 3 Ferraris. Yeah? Do you have a friend like Richard? None of you do. Probably a good thing. Now, when I was growing up, my friend Richard, he used to always say to me, do you know, Tim, I'm descended from a king of England. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't believe you. Descended from a king of England, really? But one day, I went to his house, and when I walked through the doors, on his wall, he had a huge family tree. Not like this tree, but an actual kind of written out like record. And truth be told, he was descended from a king of England. I was like, I'm really sorry, I didn't believe you before. He was descended from a king of England. And the king he was descended from was a king called Canute. Here he is. Now, King Canute, he was so I think he was coronated about 1017. Now, King Canute is famous because one day he took his throne down to the beach, he sat on the tide, and he told the waves to stop. He said, waves, stop. Has anyone tried that in the bath before? Just stop moving. That's what King Canute did. Now, boys and girls, when King Canute said stop to the waves, do you think the waves stopped? No, they didn't. They didn't stop. Now, lots of people laugh at King Canute and they say, isn't that funny? What a silly old king he was. But apparently, the story goes that he wasn't mad. Instead, King Canute was trying to prove that Jesus alone was a powerful king. Jesus alone could stop the waves. In fact, he said this, if we can have the next slide. So the waves got him in the end. He said this, let all men know how empty and worthless is the power of kings, like earthly kings. For there is none worthy of the name, but he whom heaven, earth, and sea obey by eternal laws. Now that's quite wordy, but what he's saying is, what he wanted to show all those around him was that ultimately he wasn't in charge. And the story goes that after failing to stop the tides, he took off his crown and he put it on a crucifix, which isn't now going to stay up. He put it on the crucifix. And apparently, and it broke. No, it didn't. He put it on the crucifix. He put it on the cross. And he never wore it again in honor of King Jesus. That's how the story goes. Now, whatever you make of that story, it's a helpful picture. You see, to worship Jesus, as Matthew calls us to worship him, is to let Jesus be in charge. It means to let him rule us. It means, as it were, to take off our little crowns, which say we want to do our own thing. It's to take them off and pass them to King Jesus and say, no, Jesus, I want you to take charge. It's to start living the way Jesus calls us to live, which is actually the best way to live. So boys and girls, adults too, as we celebrate Jesus' birth for another year, what's our response going to be? Matthew says we should worship Jesus as King. We need to take our crowns off, give them to King Jesus, and do what he says, because it's the best way to live. So as we end, let's have a recap. What have we got to? Can we say this all together? One, two, three. Jesus is the Messiah for the mess. He's the giant slayer. He's the blessing bringer. Hooray! So, what's our response? So, worship him as King. Will you take off your crown and let Jesus take charge of your life? And in so doing, join his family tree forever. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing a song in response. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truths that we've seen today. We thank you so much for Christmas and all the fun we have with presents and time spent with family. And Lord, we thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus, the one, the promised King who came to sort out the mess of our world, to slay the giant that we couldn't slay, to die on a cross for all who would trust in him, that they might join his family forever. Lord, help us, young and old, in the building or online, help us this Christmas to be those who worship Jesus as King, to let him direct our lives. And Lord, we pray these things, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing in response to that.